We are joined by contributor Larry Nightengast once again, and he takes us this week to the city of Wilmington, specifically Wilmington's west side, to talk about one project but some others within the overall effort to rejuvenate the west side, and some fascinating stuff coming out of there. And we're happy, Larry, for you to join us this week and tell us about one or two pieces of it. Thanks for being with us.
Happy to join you, Tom.
So the one specific piece we are talking about is Solomon's Court. Can you give us an overview of what the Solomon's Court project is, where it's located, where it kind of fits in here?
Okay, well, as for the location, now, you know, if you're driving between downtown Wilmington and, say, Kirkwood Highway or Hokeson, chances are you're going to find yourself on 4th Street. That's a broad four-lane artery, and it's lined with aging row homes, corner stores, some ethnic eateries, and a couple of fairly prominent stone churches. About midway through this stretch on the west side, right about halfway between Union Street and I-95, is the corner of 4th and Rodney Street. And at that corner on the south side of 4th Street, there's a little park, and that's a kind of a story in itself, and a string of vacant lots that stretch for about half a block. And Solomon's Court is soon going to rise on those vacant lots. It's an interesting project. It's really the first significant new development in this particular area in about 20 years. And community leaders are hoping that Solomon's Court will become a neighborhood anchor, you know, halfway between the Latin American Community Center near I-95 and the Westside Health Center, which is up at the corner of 4th and Scott in the other direction. Looking ahead, they hope that Solomon's Court will trigger even more redevelopment in the blocks on either side.
And as you point out in your piece, it was the brainchild of the late pastor Lottie Lee Davis, who sadly died in an auto accident in September. Can you tell us a little bit about what her overarching vision was for this project?
Well, Pastor Lottie, as she was known in the community, had led the Be Ready, Jesus is Coming Church, which is on the other side of Rodney Street from this project, for about 15 years. And she took over the church from her mother, who had been the pastor. Pastor Lottie made it her mission to strengthen the community around the church. She wanted to help the people in the area find jobs and to make the neighborhood a pleasant place to live. And the park and Solomon's Court are part of that.
And so how did she kind of get this all started? I mean, it's been in the works for a while now, correct?
Yes, it has. And, well, first of all, Pastor Lottie was the spark behind that little park across the street. She helped transform it from a hangout for drug dealers and prostitutes into a pleasant place for kids to play while their parents would watch. And when she saw the buildings on those now vacant lots across the street from the park falling apart, she led an effort to have those buildings torn down. And a nonprofit that she created, the Be Ready Community Development Corporation, acquired the land, and it developed the plans for this commercial residential project, and she then went to work securing the financing to get it started. So she was pulling these pieces together over the last 6 or 7 years, and unfortunately did not live to see it come through.
And like most projects, it's going to come out in phases, specifically two phases. Can you tell us what's up first and then what's going to happen after that?
Okay, well, you know, the first phase of Solomon's Court will have 4,600 square feet of street-level commercial space. Now, that should be enough room for three or four shops or offices. And upstairs, there will be six affordable rental apartments. And then there will be 12 more apartments that are going to be added in the second phase of the project. And through a partnership with the United Cerebral Palsy Organization, many of those apartments are going to be rented to adults with physical disabilities. Now, construction of the first phase of this project should start in a couple of weeks, hopefully by the end of the year, and should take about a year to complete. And then after that, work on the second phase should start. And so we're probably looking at sometime in 2022, 2023 before it's all done.
So how does this particular project fit in with the kind of overall vision for revitalizing Wilmington's West Side?
Okay, well, Pastor Lottie, who I first talked to about this project actually about 2 years ago, and her brother, Wayne DeShields, who is guiding it now, were quick to share the credit for the movement here with West Side Grows Together. And West Side Grows Together is the umbrella community organization that is trying to implement this comprehensive plan for revitalizing Wilmington's entire West Side. And we're talking here about the area west of I-95, bordered by Pennsylvania Avenue on the north and Lancaster Avenue on the south. Now, and it's an interesting little area. It's got some popular neighborhoods, Little Italy, Cool Spring, Tilton Park, and it's got some major landmarks as well, the Latin American Community Center, St. Francis Hospital, St. Anthony's Catholic Church. The West Side Grows Together initiative has shown the neighborhoods, the people that live in them, that they can get a lot more done by working together than by trying to go it alone.
And in your piece, you highlight there are some other projects that are sprouting up there, kind of concurrent with this Solomon's Court project. Let's start with one of them, Lifelines 3. What is that project all about?
Okay, well, Lifelines is a project that got started about 15 years ago through Paul Calistro, who's the longtime director of the West End Neighborhood House, to help young men and women who are aging out of the state's foster care system. You know, they're typically 18 or 19 years old. They aren't always ready to go to work full time, and they're looking for a safe place to live. Lifelines provides them with housing, job training, and instruction in day-to-day living skills. Now, this latest project, Lifeline 3, consists of building two new townhouses, rehabbing five other homes that are already part of the program, and turning an old pub into a drop-in resource center that will increase Lifeline's housing capacity from 23 people up to 33. And this $2 million project started last month, and it should be completed in about a year.
You also note that there are some other projects that are sprouting up in that area from familiar names, the Latin American Community Center, and what we've talked about previously, the Woodlawn Trustees. Can you fill us in on where those things are at right now?
Okay, well, first, the LACC, the organization has been around for about 50 years, and it's been, for a long while, a major provider of child care in the area, especially for the Spanish-speaking community. Now, they're planning to build a new child care center that could serve 78 more children. That would increase their capacity for serving infants and preschoolers from 136 children up to 214. Now, they've got to raise about another $3 million to get this project started, but they hope to do that fairly quickly and expect that the project will begin late next year and wrap up sometime in 2023. Now, on the other end of the West Side, between Union Street and the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad tracks, the Woodlawn Trustees are halfway through their rebuild of the flats. And as you mentioned, we did talk about that a year or so ago. They're tearing down more than 400 of these century-old rental units, and they're replacing them with 450 new apartments and townhouses. The 77 most recently completed units should be rented by the end of the year, and work on another 52 units should start in the spring. So they're about halfway done with the project. The overall initiative is going to take another 5 or 6 years, but I can tell you from driving by there that the completed sections along Union Street have already given this whole area a very fresh, modern look.
So taking all of this together, does it seem like this work on the West Side is really gained some momentum? And is there anything from the way the West Side has done things that offers a lesson for similar efforts elsewhere?
Well, you know, I've been following developments on the West Side for 7 or 8 years now, and a lot of things have been happening. Now, it's not always going on a set timeline, but it's, for example, some of the things we've seen, new facades and security cameras on businesses in Little Italy, improvements at several parks, mural projects and other beautification efforts, help for business startups, adjustments to traffic patterns on Union Street. And, I mean, there's a lot more work to be done. And I think it's fair to say, and from what I've seen, that, you know, the areas that were the least attractive in that general vicinity 5 or 6 years ago are probably still the least attractive ones now. But nonetheless, West Side Grows Together seems to me to be far more effective than the former Wilmington Renaissance's organization's effort to develop what they called a creative district on the edge of downtown Wilmington, or the several efforts that have been going on in the last decade to redevelop portions of Wilmington's east side, just to the east of the downtown area. You know, and the key here is West Side Grows Together is living up to its name. It's showing that the little people can get things done when they partner, that they do have the ability to tap into banks and foundations to secure funding, that you can make a difference without having big developers like the Buccini-Pollin Group, who are working on Riverfront and Market Street, being part of your projects. I mean, it's tough. It's tough work. Sometimes it's a real slog. But, you know, working together and working persistently can make a difference. And from listening to the people on the West Side, I think it's fair to say that you feel much better when you're part of the solution instead of having someone else doing the work for you.
Larry Nagengaster, a really interesting feature this week. We appreciate the reporting, and we appreciate your time joining us on The Green this week. Thanks.
You're quite welcome.